I'm doing great. How are you?
If I was doing any better, I'd be you, brother.
I'm doing pretty well.
Brad Moore, pleasure to meet you.
My name is James.
James?
Brad, nice to meet you.
Yes, sir. Keep spreading the good news.
Yeah, we were just, well, I don't know how much you would agree with us, but we were just standing out front of the Baptist church there. We stand against the culture, because that's outside of God's truth. We stand against the church systems as well, because they're outside of God's truth. So I don't know how you feel about that. Most people in America think they got it going on, and the world is in great danger. And the exact opposite is actually true in the kingdom of God. I witnessed to homeless people and drug dealers, and my wife and I talked about prostitutes and gangbangers. They are closer to the kingdom of God in their understanding that they're sinful, they're fallen, that they're on their way to hell, that they need to repent, than these people who dress up on Sunday and think they got it going on and they don't have to do anything before holy God. So the exact opposite is true. Jesus is coming in flaming fire, and he's going to judge everyone. Those people, if they don't repent, they're going to lose their soul. But he's got a special fire and fury for false religious hypocrisy. Yeah, if you've read the scriptures, you probably know that. So are you united to a religious body?
No religion.
You're not?
No.
You don't gather with anybody?
I follow the way. I gather on Shabbat.
Oh, so you're would you call yourself a Hebrew root keeper?
Just follow the way.
Are you Seventh-day Adventist?
Nope.
No. Because most of the people, yeah, I understand Saturday Sabbath. Most of the people that keep Saturday Sabbath, most of them, are either Seventh-day Adventist, some form, or are you familiar with Hebrew roots? You don't look like a Hebrew root guy. You don't wear tassels. You don't. Do you avoid like pork and everything too?
I eat clean, yeah, I do.
You avoid it or you don't eat?
I avoid it.
So how far in Torah do you go? There's 613. I don't see tassels.
No, so, yeah, that's a good question.
I got articles on this on my teaching blog. I do this. Yeah. Go to don'tperish.com, look on the teaching blog. I got articles about Hebrew roots. I don't agree with them. They teach some truth, but then again, Joel Osteen's got some truth.
Yeah.
Satan's got a lot of truth.
Right.
Yeah, Satan, most people don't realize this, he quoted scripture to our Lord and Savior.
Yes, sir.
That's the truth.
That's right.
But he twists it, and he corrupts it, and he tried to stumble him up with it. So yeah, I'd be curious, what you have other people that you gather with here in this area? Or?
It's very hard to find people that gather on Shabbat, mostly just home fellowship.
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. So what's the gospel to eternal life? Let's not go to Saturday Sabbath if you want to talk about it. What's the gospel path? If somebody came up to you and said, hey, you're a Saturday Sabbath keeper, how do I find eternal life? What would you tell them?
So if we read scripture in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Amen.
So first, we must acknowledge that we are a sinner,
right,
that our sin separates us from a holy God.
Right.
Unless we come to that knowledge and we actually have the mindset that we need to be set free and turn from those sins and allow for the propitiation, the payment of Jesus Christ to atone for our sins, turn around to live a life of holiness and righteousness.
Okay. So it sounds like you're preaching faith in Christ's finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
And then you're preaching repentance, which repentance is, I just talked about it, you got to come out of the world. The world's full of sin. Your flesh is full of sin, so is mine. It can lead us astray. And you got to come out of the false church systems as well. So it's like the three areas I tell people they really need to repent of, because that covers pretty much everything. And then doesn't the Bible say also, you didn't mention it, but you probably believe it, the Bible says we must be born again.
Amen.
Okay, yeah. So John 3.
Born of water.
Yep, we must be born again. So by faith, repentance is what's on that card. We must be born again by the Spirit of God. Then what's the fruit you're born again? You meet on Saturday Sabbath, or you meet in a Sunday building, you put on your best clothes. Is that the fruit you're born of God?
The fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, that we take the gospel, the good news, and we walk in obedience to his word and what he commands us to do.
Amen.
And we take that message and we give it to the world.
Yeah, amen, amen. So the fruit that I teach people from the scriptures is holiness and obedience. The Bible says, without holiness, in Hebrews 12, no one's going to see God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 5, 9, that Christ made the way of eternal salvation to just anybody that believes. It doesn't say that. It says to those who obey him. In fact, you quoted Acts 2. Go read further. In Acts 5, I like to tell people, and most people don't know it says this in the Bible because I don't hear anybody preach about this. In Acts 5, it says God gave the Holy Spirit. And I always do this on purpose, and it's not to trick people, but it's to get them to think deeper. I always say this. I say, God gave the Holy Spirit to anybody who just believed, right? And most people go, uh-huh. And I go, that's not what it says.
Right.
Here's what it says. He gave the Holy Spirit to those who obey him.
Right.
So I'm always linking faith and obedience together. I'm working through verse by verse in James right now. You can't get away from it in James. Martin Luther hated the book of James. He wanted to throw it out of the Bible because it tells you there is no faith without works and there is no works without faith. The two go perfectly together. The evangelicals and the Baptists, many of them will tell you, you're saved by grace alone, faith alone. You won't find one Bible verse that says you're saved by faith alone. You're not saved by faith alone. And you're not saved by grace alone. Faith and grace were saved by, you and I talked about, what does it always have with it?
Obedience.
Obedience, holiness, willingness, forsaking sin. Are you married?
No.
Okay. If you ever do get married, if you were married, you gotta be faithful to her and protect her and support her. She's got to obey you, the Bible says, and be faithful to you. If two people don't, you don't have a covenant anymore. So our covenant, our blood covenant with Christ is because of his blood, his death, burial, resurrection, our repentance to him. When we obey, God sees a willing vessel. The fruit is holiness and obedience, scouring the scriptures, coming out of all false ways. Everything you do, how you talk, act, dress, how you live, how you spend your money, how you associate, everything falls under the lordship of Christ. And then the last part of the gospel, most people don't believe this either in America. They've been sold the lies by the modern pastors. You got to endure. You got to endure. None of this raise your hand, get water dipped, say a prayer. I'm going to heaven no matter what. I can't lose my salvation. Now, one Bible verse teaches that. That is a doctrine of demons that people twist to make America feel good, like everybody's going to go. Jesus said few are going to enter the kingdom of God. That word in English, when you translate it from Greek, means puny. Look around your state of Georgia. Look around your town. A puny number of people are going to find eternal life. That church building, if one person out of those 300 people walked in there, makes it to the kingdom of God, they'll be beating the odds. Because if you look at what the odds are, 8 came off the ark out of what? Maybe a million alive on earth, who knows? 3 come out of Sodom and Gomorrah out of tens of thousands of people. 2, talk about, you're talking about Sabbath. 2 out of 600,000 men go into the Holy Land, Caleb and Joshua. And I like to give this number to people to let them think. Now, this isn't how many people are going to make it in heaven for America. I don't know. God knows that number. But if you take 2 out of 600,000 and you take the same percentage, you want me to show you how few is? When you look around and go, where's true saints? Here's how few it is. 330 million Americans. Ready? Mm-hmm. It's about between 1,200 and 1,500 people if you use that same percentage. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be the exact, but it's just a percentage. It just gives you... The few that Jesus was talking about was his reference in the Old Testament, because he was a prophet from the Old Testament. The New Testament really didn't start till when?
I'm listening.
When did it start? It would be at his death, when the veil torn, and he fulfilled the law perfectly.
Correct.
And he allowed us to enter into God, not no longer needing a building system, but now because Christ is our intercessor, our mediator, we now enter into him through faith. Now, let me share something with you. This will affect your Saturday Sabbath. Let me talk about that. So I just preached to them. Good Friday's coming up. Mm-hmm. Today's Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday occurred in the Bible. One time, Jesus rolled in. Nowhere are we told to celebrate it, lift it up, practice it. It's a Roman Catholic holiday.
Yep.
Now Good Friday's going to roll around. They're all going to practice Good Friday death to Sunday morning resurrection. How many days did Jesus say he'd be in the grave?
3 days and 3 nights.
Can you get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday night to Sunday morning? And do you know what the truth is? Have you studied this?
Yeah.
When did he die?
Wednesday night.
Very good. He died Wednesday, the day before the high Sabbath, which was Thursday. There was 2 Sabbaths that week. I got an article that proves it. And he rose on Saturday. Now, this is really critical for you. He rose on Saturday. Why did he rise on Saturday?
I'm listening.
Hebrews 4. He is our Saturday. He is our Sabbath rest. So what I would say to you is, in love, you can gather on Saturday. Not a problem. What you can't do is you can't teach that God mandates it anymore, because actually Christ is our Sabbath rest.
So
we're resting in him now, and we're no longer, I mean, do you do like the Friday night to Saturday night thing? That's
so
the
let
Sabbath.
Me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Was Yeshua, was Jesus our example, everything he walked, talked, and did?
Yes.
So as Jesus walked out the law and taught the law perfectly,
yep, perfectly.
Not obedience to the law was our salvation, but our obedience to the law was fruit.
Uh-huh.
In lieu or
yep.
in the midst of salvation.
Right. Amen.
So if Jesus was our example, he walked and he taught these, then we can't cut portions of scripture out and say, well, we don't keep that, because he is our example.
Well, we don't cut portions of scripture out, but what we do is we study them in context. So first of all, if you're going to stand here in love, You're being nice. You're not being a mocker. I appreciate that. I love talking about the things of God. In love.
It's all about truth.
In love, you got a problem, though.
Okay.
Because if you're not wearing tassels, and you're not wearing a robe like Jesus did, and you're not going to Israel 3 times a year, and you're not taking offerings to a Levitical priesthood, you're not keeping the Torah law. So here's where I believe the change made a difference. Jesus said he didn't come to do away with it. He fulfilled it. But he did. But he said, it is finished. What do you think that meant?
It is finished, which means he is the priest.
Yep. He finished the law for us.
Under the Melchizedek priesthood.
He finished it. And then if we go on to the New Testament, in Acts 9, he calls Paul to be his emissary, his messenger to the Gentiles. And Paul and all the men in Acts 15 show us that the Gentiles are not to keep Torah law. They said, we gave no such commandment in Acts 15.
How could he do that when he was actually meeting at the synagogue on Shabbat?
Paul was a Jew. Mm-hmm. To the Jews and a Gentile to the Gentiles. Right. So if you go to Acts 15, it shows us that us Gentiles don't have to keep Torah law. There was only 4 things that were given to them to keep. And did you know all 4 of those things they were given to keep in Acts 15, they were all pre-Torah. We do keep some pre-Torah things. If you stay here long enough, we'll get to that. We keep some pre-Torah things. So Jesus fulfilled it. Acts tells us we don't have to keep it in Galatians 2.
Well, he had to fulfill it.
He did fulfill it. It's finished.
Sin is the transgression
of
the law.
Right. But we're in a different covenant today.
So if he didn't fulfill it, then he would be sinning.
No, but we're in a different covenant today because you don't. Here, I can prove it too. Ready? Paul.
So what is the new covenant?
Hold it. Paul was taught by Jesus. In the Old Testament, what did they do with false teachers?
Stoned them.
What did Paul tell us that we should do with them in the New Testament?
I'm listening.
Mark them and avoid them. No more stoning. We move to the New Testament. The Torah law was for the Israel people. The Saturday Sabbath. Now, I do believe we keep the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
With one modification.
Okay.
The Sabbath. I'm keeping the Sabbath every day. I'm resting in Christ. So he's my Sabbath rest. I don't keep a Friday night to Saturday night.
Teaches,
yeah, and here's what Scripture teaches. The Sabbath is not eternal. When you look up the word eternal, you look up that Hebrew word, it means throughout your generations. You know I can prove the Sabbath's not eternal, which eternal means forever, right? Mm-hmm. You know I can prove it's not eternal? Go read the book of Revelation. Who's going to be... What do you need to have a Sabbath? You need a sun to go down on Friday and then come up and then go down on Saturday. That's the Sabbath. Who's the sun in heaven? The S-U-N or the S-O-N?
Right.
There was no sun in heaven. It's the S-O-N and he's lit up. So there is no Sabbath in heaven.
Gotcha.
So that's why I don't believe we need to keep it today.
We need to keep 9 commandments.
Right? You're resting in Christ. He's the Sabbath rest. Everything was an archetype in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So the circumcision was an archetype. Your tassels, ready? You don't wear them. If you believe in Torah, you should be wearing them, but
if you look at what the new covenant states in the book of Jeremiah, it says, I will take a people and I will put my laws within your heart.
It's a New Testament.
So if you look at the Ark of the Covenant, you literally have the Ten Commandments.
Oh, I believe in the law. I believe in the Ten Commandments. I teach it. Here's the beautiful thing. All of the Ten Commandments, including resting in Jesus Christ, are echoed in the New Testament. But not the Torah law is not echoed in the New Testament. That was for the Jews. Now, let me give you the pre-Torah stuff we do keep. Ready? Husband and wife. That's my wife. God ordained that. I'm not married to somebody named Larry.
Yeah.
One man, one woman. Ready? God told Noah, don't drink blood. That was in Genesis 9, I think. Okay. In Genesis 3, God dressed us. Do you see what I wear? My wife wears a dress, long dress. I wear like a tunic-like robe. God covered our forms, and it was the first shedding of blood. It's an archetype of Jesus. So that's what I teach that the churches and the culture has gone away from, that we're to cover ourselves up. This is our sin covering. This is our temple. So there's some pre-Torah things we keep. Take dominion of the earth. If a mountain lion showed up and started attacking my wife, I'm going to try to rip it to shreds and kill it. That's taking dominion of the earth.
Yeah.
And so there are pre-Torah things we keep, but we don't keep Torah. Moses actually said in the book of Exodus, he said, this was given to us, not our fathers. So Israel, in order to keep Torah law, you have to be in Israel with a temple, with a Levitical priest system. What we keep is the New Testament today. And everything in the New Testament is what we keep, some pre-Torah law, and we do keep the Ten Commandments. But Saturday Sabbath, no. And there is a...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And
as soon as they start coming out, I'm going to walk down there and then you can email me and stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what would be the point in taking... So you say that you believe in the Ten Commandments and you preach and you teach those. What would be the point in taking that day that he did bless. He said, in 6 days I created everything and it was good, but on the seventh day I blessed. So he didn't
right.
bless it.
Yep.
So what would be the point of taking that one commandment after the new covenant through the Messiah and wanting to change it, or even desiring to change it to a different day?
Well, you have to ask God that, because in heaven there's going to be no Sabbath. I just proved it to you. But, so it's going to go away anyway.
But as far as man, where do you think that comes from?
Well, but Jesus said that the Sabbath, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is higher than, the Sabbath is not higher than man or than God.
Amen.
It was given for us. So it's just a tool. It's like circumcision. It's like not eating unclean food. That was an archetype of we're supposed to keep ourselves pure and holy. So you got to look at the Old Testament, because careful, it's a millstone or it's a weight. If you take on the Old Testament, James said, if you don't keep them all and you break one, you're guilty of them all. The New Testament isn't like that. We're keeping it all in Christ. And when we sin, we do have to repent and we have to be cleansed. We can't live in willful sin.
Absolutely.
Hebrews 10 tells us that.
There's
26.
No, amen.
So we gotta walk holy. I'm not doing away with God's law. What I'm doing away with is that ceremonial law. That is no longer for us. But I'm holding fast to the Ten Commandments. Christ is my Sabbath rest. You can meet Saturday. That's awesome. Just don't teach that we have to. Somebody could meet Sunday. But calling Sunday the Lord's Day, that's a sin and a lie.
Amen.
You can meet Wednesday. You can meet Monday. You can meet at midnight. You can meet at noon.
Amen.
So we have to be careful what we teach. But be careful. If you cling to the law, it's going to drown you. You got to cling to Jesus.
Amen.
And then he is in the new covenant. And he did not, his men did not require the Gentiles to keep those things. Now, I wanted to go here quickly. Galatians 2. Peter is hanging out with the Gentiles, eating like the Gentiles, living like the Gentiles. Those wicked circumcision Jews show up, and Peter goes, got to go over by these Jews and watch how I'm eating, what I'm doing. And Paul goes, I called him out to his face. He was in the wrong. He switched the gospel because he started living like a Jew. And Peter, and Paul says, you were living like a Gentile. It's proof that all those laws had been broken down. Acts 10, the sheet came down. And I got all kinds of articles on that.
Yeah, cool.
You need to go check them out. And then I'd love to hear from you.
Appreciate the conversation.
I'd love to Bible study with you sometime. I travel the country, but we come back around through. This is what I do for a living. I don't take people's money.
So where are you at now? Like,
that's our house right there. See that? That man? We sold everything we own.
Amen,
that's
bro.
A camper van. We travel the country. We were down preaching in Florida all winter because it's warm and you can't throw a stick without hitting the farmer's market or something. Now we're headed north. We preach through small towns. We preach at churches. We were going to be preaching at the farmer's market here, but it got Noah like rain yesterday, so it got flooded out. But we're headed to some more events. That's all I do. I retired early, sold everything we own, fund myself, don't take people's money, and go out and preach Jesus Christ. And I don't think you'll find very many biblical street preachers. I don't run into any of them. The street preachers I run into are usually Baptists, and they're worldly and wicked, or cults groups. I'll just say it. I've been doing this for years. And I'm not boasting. I got nothing special. All I've got is God's word.
Amen.
And I'm holding on to it. And I'm nothing without him. But I'll tell you this. I've been doing this for years. I've never met a biblical street preacher yet.
Amen. I agree.
And I would say, if you say, well, you think you're one, I would say, go test me to the word.
Absolutely.
And if you find anything in me that's wrong, anything I've told you today is wrong, you test me to the word. And if you can come to me and say, no, I got to show you this is wrong. I want to listen to it. I want to hear it. I'll take it to some other brothers. I'll test it. If I got it wrong, I've been teaching online for 12 years, and I got my website goes all over the world, and I expose places. I do three things: preach the biblical gospel in the streets, make disciples, and call out false religion, because it's all over.
Amen.
And so I would just encourage you to go a lot deeper. You're on the right path, doing away with the churchianity system and doing away with the culture, but I think you got to go deeper. I'll give you a tip for you. So the Bible tells women to cover their heads.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible teaches. Nobody does that. And the Bible also tells us men that we're supposed to have our heads uncovered when we talk about the things of God. So that was in 1 Corinthians 11. A lot of people think that's an Old Testament. No, 1 Corinthians 11. So there's a lot of these things that nobody's teaching on.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to leave you with this. Ephesians 5:9. Yep, you mentioned Galatians 5, I think it is, where it talks about patience, long-suffering, love.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Hardly anybody talks about Galatians 5:9. The fruit of the Spirit, if he's in you and in me, is goodness, righteousness,
mercy,
and truth.
Yeah.
But see, everybody's like abrogated truth. You know, they say Jesus is the way and he's the life. But he said he's the truth too. Yeah, I know. We keep a bunch of lies. But how can you follow Jesus? Well, the truth. And the Holy Spirit is also called one other name. he's called the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. So if we don't have all truth, that we're not walking in it, living it, we're not obeying it, the Spirit's in there, if we are born again, convicting us. We're either rebellious or we're not born again.
The Spirit will reveal all
He will. Truth. He will. Amen. So, man, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to go get over there and get ready. They're going to be coming out.
Pleasure.
I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So, sorry, you're on. Information.
Yep, it's all in there. You get my email, you email me, and we start talking, and I'll send you my cell phone. We can text each other. I'd love to Bible study with you.
Let's do it.
All right,
what
man.
Say your name was again?
James. James, but my brothers call me Tupos. Tupos, you'll love this. In Greek, it's not Hebrew. In Greek, Tupos means example. That's what I want to be. We get a new name one day in Revelation. We took new names now. My wife is Sister Debbie. We call her Sister Amen. Amen is faithful. Amen. So we threw away our worldly names. James, I know it's a biblical name, but people knew me by James. Now they're like Tupos. I'm like, yeah, I want to be an example for Christ. They're like, love to hear from you, man.
Pleasure, man.
God be praised. Thanks for stopping. I might have come just for you today.